true faith. We're going to talk about some basics this morning. As a matter of fact, this is one of the basics that if you miss over it, it's an absolute. You're kind of out of touch with God. You just are not communicating. Whether it be a marriage or in a family or wherever it is, if communication breaks down, you've got a problem. And in a sense, faith is the prime root of communication, because if you have faith in someone, that sets the tone of the communique. In other words, if you have faith in our Father that He exists and that He is good and from Him come all of our blessings, then your communication naturally is of praise or worship or love or comfort or so forth. But at the same time, if you have faith, if you've known someone for 20 years and you know they're sorry, no good, they're going to let you down at every turn, you have the faith to know what your communication is going to be with them, to tell them, to encourage them, to bless them, and to help lift them up if you can, all right? We don't just bless them out and let it go at that, all right? We try to communicate, and communication is really that portrays your character and your emotions, as well as our Father's emotions in return when you're dealing with His Word. And without emotion, that is to say the emotions of love, understanding, wisdom, comfort, you don't have an association with our Father, because He's all of those things. And so it's imperative that you guard against any doubts by the method that He sets forth. Let's see if we can understand what that is. You all know what the faith chapter is, Hebrews chapter 11. Let's be turning there in the Word of God, because only from the Word of God can we learn those things that we do that please Him. And if you're not pleasing Him, then certainly He's not going to bless you. And I'm a student from the old school that truly believes, like in the Minor Prophets, when Father says, "Hey, I'll put holes in your bucket," I know He does it. Or He can, whereby when you try to carry something in, it's going to leak out before you get there, whether it be from one reason or another. Or He can bless you. He can cause your works to prosper and be blessed and so forth. So it's important that we have a good communication line open through prayer to our Father. Okay, chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, verse 1. Let's go with it. Now, faith is. I like that word is, because it means this is a very interesting subject, and we're going to find out what it is here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, they haven't come to pass yet. Your hope is an eternal existence with our Father. The evidence. Do you know what evidence is? That's proof. The evidence of things not seen. I like to take this word confidence back to the prime in the Greek, and not only just translate it substance. It will carry, and it's valid to translate it deed if you want to. Do you know what a deed is? It's like an inheritance. Faith is your deed to those things hoped for, meaning you're certainly going to get it. You're certainly going to get what you've got coming to you. All right? That make you uncomfortable? It's true. You're going to get what you got coming to you. All right? And certainly, it is your deed to that. It's a guarantee. Now, we live in a generation where many people go to church. Well, Grandma did, and Grandpa did, and well, they were this denomination before that. I guess it's all right. They all go, and they go there, and they once a week or twice a week, and you know, they say they're Christian, so I be a Christian also, I guess. And then it comes prayer time, and one that sits in this realm, well, they all pray to God. They, I'm in trouble, and I need help, and I guess it's time to pray. I guess I will. Hey, don't waste your time, friend. If you're one of these guessy people, if you don't know, then you don't have faith And you know what? He's not going to hear you. Oh, he'll hear you, but he's not going to answer. Now, a lot of times we just have to get this right down where the rubber meets the road. One of you has a child. And that child goes along, well, I guess that's my mama. I guess she is. I think she is. I guess that's my dad. I don't know if they're real or not, if they're just play acting. I really don't know if they really love me. Then you as a parent, when they rebel on you, what are you going to do to them? Is it going to warm your heart to that child when you hear that? Well, certainly it's not your Heavenly Father's. That comes down on him instead of a loving child. It comes down like, hey, you really made my day, sucker. Now, our Father wouldn't say that, all right? He wouldn't call you a sucker. That's really, I just want you to see what lack of faith, how joyful he receives you when you go to him in that attitude. Forget it. He doesn't want to talk to you if you're going to talk like that. And don't think he can't read your mind. He can. Well, I'd pray for this, but I know he's not going to do it anyway. Well, save yourself some time. I guarantee you he's not. Faith is to know that he exists. And if you have studied his word, especially in this generation, you know we're so blessed that we're almost spoiled with prophecies coming to pass, especially in the last 10 years, that document that this word is true, that it's absolute. When we see the prophecies of one worldism coming into existence, the new world order, exactly as our Father said it would come to pass. Exactly in line. That should strengthen, and if you ever had a lack of faith, that should have blown it totally out of the water, whereby you're on solid rock and you know that our Father is in control. We have many teachings to our young people today. Rather than to teach the actual creation, we are allowed to teach evolution in our school system, which creates a doubt automatically built in a young person's mind, if you have not taught them, that God is really real, because after all, the class says that we came from monkeys, all right? That we're really a monkey people, and there's some monkey business going on, all right? That in itself, in the system, is one of the first, not the first, but one of the first obstacles placed in the minds of people, and it is so silly. Because for anything such as evolution to be a reality, this is one of the reasons we go out, we do documentaries on fossils, on ancient writings, and so forth. And all the remains we find, monkey is still a monkey, man is still a man, a snail that is 4 million years old still looks exactly like a snail today. And for evolution to be a possibility, it would have to be an eternal process, everlasting. In other words, you would have to have half monkey, half man walking around today as the little amoeba comes from the water, and it's a non-ending birth into what we are. It isn't there, but that doubt is placed through a satanic system into the minds of your children, and that's why faith is so important. That you get back to basics and have that deed in your hand. And don't you be one of these people that can be shook around real easy. Some high-flying teacher can come along and give you a few verses and a few chapters and a little one-line Charlie here and there and have you believing something that is contrary to the Word of God. How do you know whether it is or not? By studying the Word for yourself, all right? So, we have many things. My whole point in doing that perhaps was to add just a little bit of confusion to show you how easily in today's system doubt, whether it be through the media of one form or the other or whatever, can put doubt into the minds of your own family and even yourself. So it's very important that you have that deed in hand, and quite frankly, the papyrus that this comes from is that deed. because it gives you the wisdom that your Father has placed in it that is non-failing. It will not let you down. Verse 2 of this. For by it what? Faith. Elders obtained a good report. They made this known by sticking with it. They were able to lead the children down through the years and bring them to the position even where we are today. It's a roadmap to peace of mind, to happiness. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, that would throw many people, because through faith in the word, when it states worlds plural, we know that it is cosmos from the Greek, and that we're talking about world ages. You know from this word that there was a world age, not a different world, but a world age before this one. That's why we find dinosaur tracks on our documentaries. That's why we find many proofs in the stone of the first earth age in which Satan rebelled and brought about these present day, this present day earth age, whereby you're here to make a choice, and it's all yours. Nobody's going to force it on you. Do I love my Father, and do I have faith in Him, or do I just kind of want to dawdle along here from one paycheck to the next, just trying to make it, just get me through it, you know? Our Father doesn't appreciate that either, because it stated you can have understanding. And beloved, the only way you're ever going to have peace of mind is to understand what's going on. You know as well as I that any time you're caught in a predicament, let's say a precarious predicament, and you don't know exactly what the outcome, or did not know it was coming, that you're real edgy for a moment trying to put it all together. Well, this word, His word, gives you understanding of what the next world even brings, and what the conclusion of this one will be. And within that, in your communication with Him, you not only know what to expect, but you know what He expects from you. That you're a can-do type person. That He has something for you. Okay, let's go on verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. In other words, we still teach using that fact, that event, that Cain. You know of that which in the Hebrew tongue is Kenite, the offspring thereof. They still speak as well, as it is written in the Word. And by having faith in the Word, it gives you that absolute, that you kind of know what's going on in the world and wherefrom the trouble originates, at least in general. And you watch, and you observe, and you serve Him in faith, which is the substance, your deed, to know the fact you've got the victory. You have the peace of mind. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What testimony? He had faith. He had faith, and God, inasmuch as death was introduced through Adam, so Abel became the first participant in death of the flesh in the act of murder. But Enoch, in his righteousness, God documented through faith, I have power over death. So he took Enoch and he was not. In other words, he raised him into the spiritual body. For within your flesh, which our old flesh ages and it withers a little bit, and a lot of people tell me it's a real joy to mature and grow old. Well, maybe in knowledge sometimes, but as far as the flesh is concerned, I haven't convinced myself of that yet. I really haven't. There's too many squeaks, and when you move, it doesn't feel like it used to. You know, when you wake up and a little pain grabs you here or there or yon. But hey, nothing we can't handle, but I'm saying we've got something better than this. Far better. And Enoch was translated and even now today is with the Father. But he had this witness. What witness? Faith. He was a believer. And beloved, in that belief comes your love to Christ that causes you to be one of those that shall not perish. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe, have faith, would not perish, but have eternal life. So Enoch had it. All right? Verse 6, listen very carefully. But without faith, it is impossible. I'm going to repeat that word. It is impossible to please him, that's to say our Father. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, that sincerely seek him. In other words, that's the basic, and that, my friend, is an absolute. God could not make it any clearer. It's impossible for your prayers to be heard. I'm going to drop the word heard unless you understand what I'm saying in Greek. It's impossible for your prayer to be acted upon. He'll hear it, but he won't act on it. All right? Because what? If he's not pleased, what's he going to do? He's not going to bless you if he's not pleased. And if you doubt him, you have absolutely no right whatsoever to ask him for anything, because you're not a good child of the living God. If you don't believe he exists, you would be a little silly asking him for something anyway. That would be like going out to a fence post and whittling a face on it and asking the fence post to do something for you if you don't believe he exists. It is impossible to please God without faith. That's that inner love, that warmth, that understanding that when you talk to him, that he touches you and you know that you know he is your Father, the creator of your soul, and you feel that warmth and you have that faith and it pleases him very much. The same if it would please you very much if one of your children comes to you and says, Mommy or Daddy, I love you so much. I really do. I want you to help me with something. You know you're going to do it, if it's at all possible, if it's for the benefit of the child. It is impossible to please God. Now, we live in an age of precedence. It's a very confusing age, inasmuch as all decisions are based upon what has been made before. All law is based on precedent. Well, we had this trial back here at so-and-so, Brown versus Wade, and so forth. And boy, they hung it to him, so we're going to hang it to you. Well, now, what I do really doesn't have that much to do with Brown. But that's the precedent. There's no absolute. All right? Do you understand what I'm saying? God's law is absolute. If you do it his way, it's an absolute. Everybody understand. But it's almost as if people hope and wish to confuse people. And the same as you have scripture lawyers which wear robes with cotton. Well, I'm not going to say robes, or you're going to think I'm talking about some particular religion. I'm not. When really all it is a beggar off the street that all he does is stands around and begs for money and gives you precedents and traditions of men. So it is in the courts that a sea lawyer wants, the main thing he's interested in, a beggar off the street, is the size of your pocketbook. In many cases, there are good people and everything. But you still have no absolutes. Nothing, an absolute that you can stand on that mark, know you're in the place you're supposed to be. That is your right. It is a fact, and you can stand on it without fear of reprisal. In God's Word, you can do that. Unfortunately, in law, in education, in the economy, in this particular age, sorry, we live in a generation of precedents. But that statement, it is impossible to please God without faith, is an absolute. You can rest assured of it, beloved. Let him know. Well, how do I know he's real? Hey, go read Psalms 22. Study the Word. And find that in Psalms 22, when he says in the perfect Hebrew tongue, with the exception of one Aramaic vowel verb, Ela, Ela, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he gives every detail that happened at the foot of the cross on the day of his crucifixion, 1,000 years before it happened. Even the words that would come out of the priest's mouth. Even the fact that the Roman soldiers gambled for his clothing. That's your father's way of treating you like a little child, saying, look here, child. I told you this was going to happen 1,000 years before it did. And that should strengthen your faith. And that's only one out of thousands. And when you study his word, you come to those absolutes. And you know that you know. So again, if there's any one thing you learn today, don't get away from the basics. It is impossible. That means in no way. It cannot happen. It is impossible for you to please God without believing upon him through faith. You're wasting your time otherwise. Okay? So you're either going to have to get serious about your love of your Father, or you're just going to have to sit back and think about it a while longer, okay? That is an absolute, all right, as far as your communicating with him goes. Now, you all know the faith chapter, and we could go all through it. But, and it is basics. Might help you if you did, if it's been a long time. But I'm going to go on to the beginning of the 12th chapters, whereby faith has been sealed. Why do we need faith? Paul tells you in chapter 12, verse 1, and the following 5 verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what witnesses? The same witness as Enoch, that faith is absolute, that God is real. Let us, this is where Paul speaks colloquial Greek. He uses the word cloud here as he used it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which means a big covey, a big bunch. Doesn't mean you're going to gather up here in the cloud somewhere, all right? He says, it's a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. That's like, hey, let's take our coats off. In other words, we're about to run a foot race is what this amounts to, all right? Get rid of some weight. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. That means endurance. In your life every day, practice endurance. Don't be impatient. When you have faith, you can know, hey, it's all right. With endurance, the race that is set before us. In other words, sin set us back more than anything else. God doesn't like sin, but he gives us repentance, whereby when we do, we can repent, and we have that fresh, clean, new start. Forgiveness. Let that strengthen your faith, because you can feel it when that falls away from you. Get rid of those sins because they're going to slow you down. That's what he's saying in this race to witness, this witness that we must do. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. You might say the beginning and the end, if you like. But he is the author because he is the Word, and that's where your knowledge comes from. Of our faith. What is he the author and the finisher of? Your faith. So there's no way you're going to have faith if you do not know Christ the Word, the living Word, the Word of God, the Logos. So, And without faith, you're not going to please God. So you must make your mind up. Diligently, are you going to study God's word or not? It's up to you. Nobody will force you. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he sits on the mercy seat. He's your intercessor. That's why you should have faith in him. If you need something, you've got to pass a deed that you're his child, and you can go all the way to the top. Just bam, just like that. Like I teach little children, hey, if you want to pray in school, do it. We don't care what the Supreme Court says. Your teacher doesn't know what your mind is saying as long as you don't say it out loud. Well, are you teaching children to be disobedient? No, independent. Wiser than the serpent. All right? I'm not teaching anyone to break laws. That's about the most foolish thing you can do. But in your mind, you can do whatever you want to. You're an independent. Christianity does not shackle you into the bondage of this world if you use your head a little bit and a little common sense and are wiser than the serpent. God loves that, and he blesses it. All right? Verse 3, for consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself. There was Christ on the cross, and it would seem the whole world was against him. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In other words, if you think, this is such a rough old life. Oh, it's a rough old life. Everything just seems to be against me. I try to be a Christian, and it seems that everywhere I try to say something or live like I should, it seems like there's one in the group that'll cut me down. Think back to the cross of what he did for you. He suffered for you. He didn't wimp off. So that can strengthen your endurance. About the time you get on one of these poor me baby jags, that you'll reach down and get your bootstraps and jerk yourself up where you should be and become a can-do type person. He did it for us. And what's a little trouble if you are wise? A wise person can overcome the world by being wiser than the serpent. Nothing to it. It's just a good challenge, a good exercise before breakfast. Bring it on. All right? Little trouble helps you use this old gray matter and stir it up instead of letting it grow so stale. And get your way around it. Sometimes it's not best to go through it. Now, old Marine sergeants like myself, sometimes we like to go through just for exercise, all right? But a lot of times it's better to go out around it, all right? You don't get skin up as bad and so forth. You have to be the judge in your own life of how to be wiser than the serpent, but the root is faith in his word because he has already told you how to accomplish it. Have you read it with understanding? All right? So don't get to feeling sorry for yourself. Hey, you'll go down quicker. If you get on one of those jags, you'll fall quicker. Sure, we all have trouble. That's why we have each other. You know, if you need somebody to lean on a little bit, well, lean on this old boy right here. He can handle it, all right? He can take it. And that's what we have brothers and sisters for, but the best you can operate on your own, the better off you are with Christ's help. Verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. In other words, you didn't lose your blood for the sake of all others yet. 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Do you know that God speaks to us in the Word as children? Speaketh unto you as unto children. Do you know that God speaks to us in the Word as children? I like to translate it reasoning. He reasons with you like your children, giving you examples and types of what's going to happen, whereby you can better understand. And then he says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. If you get a little far out of line, and we all do, I don't know of any of us that's perfect yet, all right? Christ was, we're not. We're in the flesh. Flesh has a way of reaching out there. Oh, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. The word says that's unhealthy for you and not good for you, but go ahead and do it. It won't hurt you one more time, all right, you know? And boy, just a war goes on in the old flesh right in your body, you know, and bloom. Here we eat the whole dozen donuts, fried grease and all, you know, just, I mean, lumper down. Hit it. All right. Well, I hope that none of you eat a whole dozen greasy donuts, but be that as it may, let that suffice for all of our little weaknesses and our big ones too, all right? That when we do, God's like any other parent. He's going to get a hold of you and say, hey, that's not good for you. Well, when did he do that? When I ate a dozen donuts. Oh, man, I'm loaded down. And he speaks to you, you know, because he gets you right here. And it's his. He created these in a very natural way. And he put a nervous system in it. And that nervous system will talk to you. Just mash your old toe sometime and see if it doesn't. That toe's got a big old nerve that'll run up there and it'll say, ouch. You know, don't do that anymore, okay? So the body has a way of communicating with the inner man. And God has a way of correcting his children. Why? Especially his elect, because you're going to do it his way. One way or the other, you're going to do it his way. And whereas if someone has free will, he's not necessarily going to interfere in their life. Hey, they're on their own. And if they ask him to do something, he will. And if they ask him to correct them for certain things, he will do that also, because he doesn't play favorites. But he does correct us. Why? Because he treats us like children. He reasons with us like children, and thank our Father that he does. And like a child needs correcting, he corrects us. And thank him for it when he does that. A lot of times he can keep you out of mucho trouble by getting your attention occasionally. All right, sixth verse. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. In other words, you can count on it. He's going to correct you. There's nothing wrong with that. I really am thankful that he does, because we need it. We deserve it. And I don't want to get in bad trouble. Do you? He'll keep you out of it if you have faith and if you are pleasing him. This is going to detract just a little bit, but there's one verse I want to add to this before I go further on that thought of chastening. Okay, verse 27 of this same chapter. Turn to it. And this word, this is the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And this word yet once more signifieth. What does this word do? It signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now have you got God's frame of mind? Can you be shaken? Okay? He said, I want you to be on a solid enough foundation that when I shake it, he's about ready to change dispensations. Can your faith be shaken? All right? If it can, he doesn't want it to remain. If you can be shaken, beloved, I'm not talking about sin. I know we all sin, and I know we all fall short, but your faith should not be shaken. If he is whomping the daylights out of you, if there is any time, if any of you as a child were ever taken to the woodshed, when your pappy's whomping it on you, there is, of any times, you should know, yep, that's my pappy, all right? In other words, correction doesn't have anything to do with fate to know he's our Father and he's very real, because he's thumping our gourd or he's blessing us, whatever the case might be. All right? Can it be shaken? You think about it. Why? Back to basics. It is impossible. Boy, I don't like to be in a predicament where it's impossible. It's impossible to please our Father if you don't have faith in him that he's real, that he is our Father. You just struck out. You can be shaken if you don't have that. And you know what? There's a shaking coming that's going to remove you, because God has warned. The word warns you. Do we fall short? Yeah. that our faith in Him will not be shaken. He is our Father, our loving Father. And He has the right to expect children that can be shaken and jostled a little bit and still snuggle to Him and say, "This is my Father." He has that right, all right? Now, I'm going to take you back to the Old Testament for a moment here. We're going to go back to the 97th Psalm. There is a cry that all of us like to put out. How long, Father, are you going to let the wicked seem to win all the time? I don't think I want Psalms 97. I want 94 is what I want. Psalms 94. I'm going to just read the first verse or two while some of you are getting turned there, and then we're going to go to the 12th. O Lord God, to whom... This is the 94th Psalm. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, two times for emphasis, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. That's to say the selfish, the self-righteous. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? He's going to tell you, all right? I just wanted you to get the question that is being asked. Now, I want to go back and pick up the thought of the fact that our Father corrects us. That's important. Verse 12 of the Psalms 94. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law, which is to say the Torah, thy word. Blessed is the man that God teaches from this word. Why? If he blesses you, it means your faith is up to par, that you're in pretty good communication with him, and he's laying the blessings on you. Remember the question, how long will you let the evil triumph? What does that answer you? When's the end of this age going to be? That's the question. Well, let's listen to what he says. That thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, and the answer, until the pit be digged for the wicked. Which is to say what? The millennium, when the abyss is opened and Satan is placed there, as it is written in Revelation chapter 20. For the Lord will not cast off his people, period. Neither will he forsake his inheritance. You know that deed you have? That substance, that faith is? That deed? It's your inheritance. 15, but judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Meaning, probably better translated from the Hebrew, they're all going to try to find it. They're going to seek it. You're going to want to know, what should I do? How can I have peace of mind and not have to be worried about every little thing? Verse 16, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Question. Who is going to rise? Boy, there's a lot of evildoers in the world today. Who's going to fight your battle for you, friend? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? 17, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. In the Hebrew, that means I might as well have been in the grave. My soul might as well have been dead in the grave if God hadn't have been here to help me through this. 18, when I said, my foot slippeth, we all slip at times, beloved. Never be ashamed to the point that you don't reach for the one that can really make help you stand up, and that's your Father God. My foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, help me up. He'll always hold you up if you'll just ask him. But make sure you have the basic, that you have faith in him to know he will. In the multitude of my thoughts, do you ever just daydream a little bit? That's really the multitude of your thoughts. Many, many thoughts go through your mind as you meditate. My thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Always let him delight your soul when your thoughts of his on his word, his promises, let it delight your soul. Now listen, here's the answer to the question in part. Verse 20. Shall the throne of iniquity, whose throne is that? It's Satan, the prince of this world, all right? Have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? I mean, beloved, what did Satan say to Christ out in the wilderness? He carried him spiritually to a high pinnacle. Go ahead and throw yourself down, for God has said that the angels will protect you at any time. He lied. He quoted the scripture almost right. And you're supposed to be enough of a student of God's word to know he is a liar and that he lied. You know where that scripture is he was quoting? It's back in Psalms 91. And it doesn't say any time. Matter of fact, we're right there at it. Let's just check my old memory out here, and let's go down to verse 11 or 12. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That's what God really said. All right? Will keep thee in thy ways. Now, if you're going to be stupid and jump off of a high building, that's not your way, or it better not be, or I know what will happen to you. You'll end up in a heap down at the bottom, because God won't suffer fools. And that's what Satan was trying to make out of Christ, was a fool. And what did Christ come back at him with? The word, it is also written that ye shall not tempt the Lord your God. All right? So that's what this verse is. Is Satan's throne, can we have fellowship with it when he lies and cheats? No. You can't. You'd better not. As a matter of fact, I made a tape one time. Don't argue with Satan. If you want to end up a loser, go ahead and argue with him rather than just telling him, get out of my life in the name of Christ. Out. Don't mess with him. All right? No. The answer, of course, is no. Verse 21. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. Verse 22. But the Lord is my defense. Don't ever forget it. That's why you can have faith in him, because he is your defense. He is supernatural, and he's in control. He has charge. And my God is the rock of my refuge. You ever need something to stand on solid? Get on that rock, the rock of vengeance. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity. If they have pronounced something bad against you, God's going to turn that same thing back to them. Do you know that he does that today? I believe that with all my heart. If some devious person tries to plot against you to cause a certain thing to happen to you, sooner or later, you watch it, God will turn that on their head. Now, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness, yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Don't worry about the wicked and our Father being a God of vengeance. When it's time, but he told us when. When the pit's dug. When the pit's dug. Now, a lot of people teach, well, he's going to cut this off because we're going to fly away. Did you hear it said in there you're going to fly away? I didn't. It said when the pit is dug and they're placed in it. That's Revelation chapter 20. Then will my vengeance be fulfilled. You see, that's what having faith in your Father's word will do for you as far as keeping things in line. Keeping prophecy in a row, whereby you know and understand what he expects of you, so that you can be a servant of his and receive his blessings while you're doing it. Hey, this is a wonderful time to live. A lot of people are having problems, and it's a mixed up world. But that mixed up world is simply prophecy coming to pass, and it is exciting when you see our Father's word racing past us with prophecies. You know, when I started teaching God's Word about 40 years ago, it seems that sometimes it would be 10 years, at least to my knowledge, that a prophecy would come to pass, and whew, boy, you could just jump through a hoop, you know. And starting about 5 or 6 years ago, or no, about 10 years ago, it speeded up. Times changed. We went into the instant world, like instant rice, instant oatmeal, and instant religion, all right? And I mean, all you got to do is whoopee and you got it, you know. that doesn't absorb the word, so be careful in this age, but enjoy it. You know why? You've got a rock, and you've got a defender, and he will defend you wherever you are, and all you have to do, you have, I don't want you to blow this out of proportion, but in a sense, you have supernatural authority because he is supernatural, which means more natural. He's at the right hand of God. I mean, head notch, my friend. And when you, in faith, ask him, he touches you. He leads you. He cares, because never could your love match his. And he loves all of his children, all races, all colors, all creeds. He created them all. And he loves them. But never forget, if you say, wonder why God hasn't been hearing me. Well, I don't think anyone in here would fit this category, but stop and think a moment. There's one absolute. Have you had your faith shaken? And if it really shook, he's not listening to you, friend, and you better get back to him and realize, yes, he is my father. My little flesh mommy and daddy brought this little old flesh body into being, but Almighty God is the true father of my soul and my spiritual body. He's my father, and he can do anything, and he loves to help you, all right? He really does. Father, we thank you for the written word. We thank you, Father, for faith, for giving us the privilege of serving you. We know it's impossible to please you without that faith, to know you're in control, in charge. And Father, we ask that as we continue in thy word, that you bless us in thy word and give us the understanding from it as we continue in our study, as we take it by television and shortwave around the world, even at this time, Father, may it bless the hearts of those that need your love, even at this time. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.